Chapter 3. Mrs. Dashwood and her daughters remained at Norland for several months, although she was impatient to be gone. It was difficult to find a suitable dwelling in the neighbourhood. During that period, her contempt for her daughter-in-law increased to such a degree that she might have found it impossible to live in the same house as her for so long, had it not been for the growing attachment that was developing between Eleanor and the brother of Fanny Dashwood, Mr. Edward Ferrars, a gentlemanlike and pleasing young man, who had spent a great deal of time at Norland since his sister's arrival there. Edward Ferrars was the eldest son of a man who had died very rich, though almost the whole of his fortune depended on the will of his mother. But it was enough for Mrs. Dashwood that he appeared to be amiable, that he loved her daughter, and that Eleanor shared his feelings. He was not handsome, and his manners were awkward, but when his natural shyness was overcome, his behaviour gave every indication of an open, affectionate heart. His understanding was good, and had been improved by education. Both his mother and his sister had grand plans for him. But Edward was a modest man, without any great ambition. "It is enough," said Mrs. Dashwood, "that he is unlike Fanny. I love him already." Mrs. Dashwood was quick to see his merits, and perceived his affection for Eleanor. She was convinced that they would soon be married. "In a few months, my dear Marianne, Eleanor will be in all probability settled for life. We shall miss her, but she will be happy." "Oh, Mamma, how shall we do without her?" "We shall live within a few miles of each other, and meet every day," replied Mrs. Dashwood. "And you will gain a brother. I have the highest opinion of Edward's heart. But you look grave, Marianne. Do you disapprove of your sister's choice?" "Edward is very amiable, and I love him tenderly," said Marianne. "But there is something missing. I'm afraid he has no real taste. Music seems scarcely to attract him, and though he admires Eleanor's drawings, he does not understand their true worth. I could not be happy with a man whose taste was not the same as my own. I require so much, I'm convinced that I shall never see a man who I can really love." "Remember, my love, that you are not 17, replied her mother. "It is too early in life to despair of such happiness." Chapter 4. "What a pity it is, Eleanor," said Marianne, "that Edward has no taste for drawing." "Why should you think so?" asked Eleanor. "I assure you he has plenty of natural taste, but he distrusts his own judgment so much that he is unwilling to give his opinion on any picture." "Do not be offended, Eleanor. I have the highest opinion in the world of his goodness and sense." "Of his goodness and sense," replied Eleanor, "no one, I think, can be in doubt. You know enough of him to be sure of that. But you know less about him than I do. I have seen a great deal of him, have studied his sentiments, and heard his opinions on subjects of literature and taste, and I can tell you that his mind is well informed, and his enjoyment of books exceedingly great, his imagination lively, his observation just and correct, and his taste delicate and pure. At first sight he may not be striking, but his abilities in every respect improve upon acquaintance. I'm sure I shall see no more imperfection in him when you tell me to love him as a brother," said Marianne. Eleanor was shocked at these words, and regretted being so open with her sister. Edward stood very high in her opinion, and she believed the regard to be mutual, but she required greater certainty of it before she could confirm Marianne's conviction of their attachment. She tried to explain the real situation. "I do not attempt to deny that I think very highly of him, that I greatly esteem him, that I like him." "Esteem him? Like him? You are so cold-hearted, and ashamed to be otherwise," cried Marianne. Eleanor could not help laughing. Excuse me, but I must be careful. I'm not yet assured of his regard for me. And there are other points to be considered. I'm sure Edward is aware that there would be many difficulties in his way if he wished to marry a woman who had not either a great fortune or high rank. Marianne was astonished at how much the imagination of her mother and herself had outstripped the truth. And you're really not engaged to him? Yet it certainly soon will happen. Eleanor did not feel so sure, and did not depend on this outcome. At times, there was a lack of spirits about Edward. He often seemed dejected. The longer she was together with him, the more doubtful seemed the nature of his regard. And sometimes, for a few painful minutes, she believed it to be no more than friendship. Whatever the true nature of Edward's feelings, the situation was enough to make his sister uneasy. She took the first opportunity to offend her mother-in-law with talk of her brother's great expectations of Mrs. Ferrars' intention that her sons should marry well, and of the danger risked by any young woman who attempted to draw him in. Mrs. Dashwood knew exactly what Fanny meant by this and was so disgusted that she resolved to quit Norland as soon as possible. Immediately after this event, Mrs. Dashwood received a letter from a rich gentleman, a relation of hers, named Sir John Middleton, offering her a small house on very easy terms at Barton in Devonshire. The letter was written in a friendly style, which at that moment provided an especially welcome contrast with Fanny's behaviour. As soon as she finished reading, Mrs. Dashwood made up her mind. To leave Norland now was a blessing in comparison with the misery of continuing as her daughter-in-law's guest. She instantly wrote to Sir John, acknowledging his kindness and accepting his proposal.